Welcome back to Inside the Kentucky Derby. It's the final opportunity for horses to qualify for this year's 150th running of the $5 million Kentucky Derby presented by Woodford Reserve on Saturday. And that is the Lexington Stakes at Keeneland Racecourse, $400,000 in the purse. And the winner of this race will earn 20 qualifying points to try to get their name in the starting gate on the first Saturday in May. Kevin Kirstein here alongside Darren Rogers. And Darren, a couple of bubble horses that have the opportunity to attempt to get close to qualifying for the Run for the Roses in the Lexington, Hades, and Encino, two of those names. And it's a fun race top to bottom on Saturday.
Yeah, Hades has 30 points thus far, and then Encino with 20. You also have Liberal Arts in here with 19. Lucky Jeremy has 16 points. The Wine Steward has 5, and Footprint has 2. But really, you know, the bubble horse right now, let's say, look, we've got two horses in the top 20 right now. Endlessly, who, you know, remains under consideration for the Derby, but also is possible for the American turf on the grass. And then you have, I think it's very unlikely Deterministic will wheel back after that poor effort in the Wood Memorial. So you have two horses that possibly could defect. That would put in Granmo the First with 40 points, Common Defense with 37. So Hades really with a top 4 finish could get within that top 20. A horse like, you know, Encino, he has 20 points. He has to win for the most part.
And it comes down to of the non-restricted stakes earnings. So, correct. You know, there's possibilities where if Encino wins and Hades runs second, so 20 points for the winner, 10 points for the runner up. Say Encino wins, he has 40. Hades would then also have 40. And then you would go by the non-restricted stakes earnings, which would, you know, keep Hades in over Encino, I believe is my quick math there. But, yeah. And so it'll come down to a tiebreaker, but we'll have to see what happens on Saturday, how that shakes out. But you're right. Those are the two horses that I think a lot of people are keeping their eyes on. It sounds like Granmo the First, who is the first horse out, Victor Barboza making some plans to get here to Churchill Downs. So it sounds like they are still interested in Common Defense is here at Churchill Downs and is scheduled to work this weekend for Kenny McPeak. So, you know, those two bubble horses are still in consideration for the Derby. We'll have to see how things shake out on Saturday with the Lexington. Let's talk about the field. Starting from the rail out, Secret Chat, trained by Roderick Rodriguez, ridden by Joel Rosario, exits a state bred allowance runner-up finish down at Gulfstream Park. He is 15-1 on the morning line and should be all of that, I think, on Saturday.
Well, the water gets a lot deeper here for Secret Chat. Interesting that Joel Rosario takes them out. That's the one thing that caught my eye here. This is ordinarily a horse I would not be keen on going from, you know, 6 furlongs to 8.5 furlongs. It is the second start of the year, so maybe expect some improvement. Is bred to run long, so interesting long shot on the rail. I'm trying to think here from a pace standpoint. You think he's going to be sitting kind of on the inside, probably in the second flight?
Yeah, probably. Lucky Jeremy's probably going to show some tactical speed from the outside. Who knows what the Wine Steward will do fresh. If he will show some pace breaking to his outside. But there isn't a ton of gas in this race, I would not assume. So probably forward in that second flight. Speaking of the Wine Steward, very intriguing to see him come back for his first start as a three-year-old. If you remember back to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, he was targeting that race after finishing second to Locked in the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland. He ended up having a setback and did not go in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, has been off the races since. He came back this winter at Gulfstream Park and has since shipped here to Churchill Downs and has a couple of local works here and targeting the Lexington Stakes. I don't know if he's going to be the 5-2 favorite. I'm very curious to see what some of the, I don't know, some of the public money does on like Hades, who has a, you know, his name is out there after winning the Holy Bull. Encino exits to John Pataglia, but Nick Tamaro made him the 5-2 morning line favorite coming off the layoff for Mike Maker.
You know, I'm going to pass and watch one in a 3-year-old season. The Breeders' Futurity in retrospect, I'm not certain how strong of a race that actually was. It was a grade one. He was beaten a half length. It was done in a very fast fashion. But I think I'd like to watch one off the break.
Yeah, I agree with that, especially being at a short price. Dilger, the 3-horse, the Irish bred for Safi Joseph and Tyler Gaffalione. Tyler Gaffalione, currently the leading rider down at Keeneland as we are recording this podcast, exits a maiden special weight victory down at Gulfstream in his last start. And I don't know if that was the most difficult field in the world there. And he was 9-1 that day winning. And so I think, you know, the field is definitely a lot deeper in this spot for him.
Yeah, this is a definite class test for Dilger. I would expect him to be a little further back. So if you do get a contested pace, that would help his cause. But I'm going to pass on Dilger.
I'm with you on that one. Footprint for Kenny McPeak returns back to the dirt, and he's always been consistent throughout his career. This will be his 8th career start. He's 1-7, but he's finished 2nd twice and 3rd twice. He exits the Rushaway at Turfway last time out over the Tapeta surface. The Rushaway was a very interesting race, almost like a little bit of a merry-go-round where they went slow that day. Brian Hernandez Jr. gets back in the saddle, who has ridden this horse in the past. I think that he's one that can maybe pick up the pieces underneath. I don't know if he's quite good enough to win, but at that 10-1 price, he may be one to round out an exact or a try at a price.
Yeah, you and I have similar thoughts on Footprint. I think he'll be near the back of the pack. He'll have to work out a trip, have full faith in Brian Hernandez Jr. And this is a very consistent horse who's you know, always picking up checks, you know, hitting in the top 3 of 5 of his 7 starts. And, you know, this is a good spot for him. And this is an intriguing horse at a price.
I was a moron earlier when I was talking about the pace, and I did not mention Hades' name, who obviously is going to be a part of the pace scenario in this race. He's adding blinkers. That Holy Bull, which was, you know, sort of that slow-paced merry-go-round race where he won 2 starts ago when they went 25, 50, and 2. I don't think this race will be like that. I think he's going to have to go a little bit faster on the front end in order to get that lead. Does get a rider switch to Jose Ortiz. Joe Orsino has said that he is doing everything in his power to get this horse qualified for the Kentucky Derby. With a victory, Darren, he is in the race, but if he has a similar effort to the Florida Derby, he's not going to get enough points to qualify for the Derby.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, you're going to draw a line through that last race, or maybe that was the class test. I don't know, but things didn't go his way down at Gulfstream Park on March the 30th. He was bumped at the start. Never really picked up his feet, and was very disappointed at odds of 3-1 in that dominating performance by Fierceness that day. This is a good spot for him. I think he towers over this field in, from a class standpoint. But again, I've said it all winter. I have a tough time seeing a gelded son of Awesome Slough, the Florida bred, in the starting gate for a Kentucky Derby.
Yeah. Maybe he will shock us. He will not be shocking me with my wagering dollars because I'm not backing him on Saturday. I am going to back the horse to his outside, Darren. How's your attitude? Our attitude around Derby time, man, we are fresh. We are ready to roll. John Ennis on Inside Churchill Downs. This is just a total, you know, steam horse. On Inside Churchill Downs, we gave John
Ennis. Airs on ESPN Louisville every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m.
Yes, live horse racing every Friday night talk show on ESPN Louisville. And we grilled John Ennis and said, all right, John, we need a winner that isn't named Epic Ride. And he said, well, I'm running a horse in Lexington, and he's going to be a big long shot. And he's training as good as any horse in my barn is doing right now. That is How's Your Attitude, who exits a maiden special weight victory at Turfway. Numbers-wise, this horse is not fast enough. So if we trust John Ennis's expertise, maybe we can get a bit of a price on this horse in the Lexington.
Good enough for me. He'll be forward under Adam Bisjiska. I kind of like this horse. That's I like hearing the big push from John Ennis.
Yeah, same ownership as Epic Ride, and they split them up. And Epic Ride, of course, finished third in the Bluegrass, and this horse in the Lexington on Saturday. Ever Do It will be a massive long shot for Kevin Rice, and Axel Concepcion gets the mount. You know, he ran over the sloppy surface at Keeneland the other day and didn't run a step, and they wheeled him right back here in the Lexington. And I'm assuming, I'm looking at my dates, he's going to scratch, Darren, would you assume? Right? I mean, he ran Wednesday.
Well,
did they wheel him back?
Well, he ran on March the 17th and wheeled back on March the 24th. You know, he won on the 17th of March and came back in a week's time to run third in the state bred stake down at Tampa Bay Downs. So I would expect him to run.
I mean, maybe they just used it as work.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. It might have been an out. This is not a horse I'm going to bet.
No, it's not either. But I was just like, oh, April the 10th. I thought that was, yeah, that seems a little close. It is April the 11th right now as we are recording this podcast. Encino's a homebred son of Nyquist for Godolphin, Brad Cox, Florent Giroux. All the connections are there to say this is a very talented horse. And he showed his talent when he broke from the outside in the John Battaglia going a mile and a 16th. Very difficult turf way. To win from that outside post, just because the run to that first turn comes up very quickly with not a lot of space to go. And he was able to close ground and was impressive drawing away late. He was originally entered in the Bluegrass, and then he ended up going in this spot. And he'd be, 30-1 in the Bluegrass and 5-1 here. He's just not for me. I'm going to wait for him to try the dirt and question marks there, but he could be for a lot of people at those odds for those connections.
Yeah. I wasn't really keen on Encino and the John Battaglia. He broke his maiden impressively on January the 26th up at Turfway Park going a mile to 16th, but he didn't draw away from the field like I thought he would. And that's why I was pretty much off him in the Battaglia. But to beat a nice horse like Epic Ride that day, and he did it impressively, and it was visually impressive, and it was also fast from a figure standpoint. The question mark, like you said, is, will he handle the dirt? And this is a good spot to try it. Like you said, the grade three versus the grade one.
Mm-hmm.
But you're asking a horse to you're asking to invest in a horse on doing something for the first time when he's probably going to be shorter odds than you'd like.
Yeah, that's a very fair point. We've talked about Liberal Arts a lot on the show, who's going to break from to his outside and post number 9 for Robbie Medina and Irad Ortiz. 4-1 on Liberal Arts, and he was a supplement to this race. And Robbie Medina said it's more than likely a race to prep for the Preakness rather than wheel back for the Derby.
Well, let's see if he wins. Well,
correct. It's exactly. We've seen that before, right? Endlessly.
Many a time.
Yeah. American Turf, Derby. I mean, he ran fine in the Southwest, I thought, in his first start of his 3-year-old campaign. And then in the Arkansas Derby, I guess maybe in that first turn, that sort of race was over for him, where he, was throwing his head and went way to the outside. So if you can forgive that Arkansas Derby and think of this horse maybe improving in his third start off of the layoff, I think he's very live in this spot.
Yeah, this is a horse for me. I like this type of horse. I think it's a good spot for him. He's going to have to work out a trip under a Rad Ortiz coming from behind, but he's going to get carried wide into that first turn. The good news is he's going to be dropping out of it when they break from the gate. So again, if he works out a trip, pace sets up for him, I think from a quality standpoint, this horse should be right there.
I completely agree. Lucky Jeremy is probably one that'll be closer to the pace. He sort of has to go from that far outside post for Bill Morey and Gerardo Corrales. Found out from Bill Morey when this horse was running in the Jeff Ruby, why did he go out to Sunland? And that's where his owner is from, out in the Arizona, New Mexico area. And so that was all the owner's idea. It worked out when he won the Riley Allison Derby and then finished third in the Sunland Derby behind Stronghold and A Lot of Luck, who both came back to win. And in the Jeff Ruby, I thought he was going to run a little bit better. He was sort of part of that pace scenario in there, just being based at Turfway and handling that all-weather surface. Maybe it wasn't his A game on the all-weather surface, and returning to the dirt, he will be able to show some better run at odds of 8-1.
Yeah, he's going to look, he's going, he's going to be out on that lead with Hades. So he does have the benefit of being on the outside. So he'll be able to, you know, see what either you let Hades go or you rate just on his hip. We'll see what happens, but interesting horse at a price. I'm probably going to pass, but, he's done nothing wrong.
No, he certainly hasn't. That's the Lexington Stakes in a nutshell. Goes as race 10 on Keeneland Saturday card, 5:48 p.m. Eastern time for the Lexington. And our eyes will all be on Hades, Encino, and Liberal Arts even to try and see if they can get enough points to put themselves in the Derby picture and qualify for the first Saturday in May. It's tick-tock, tick-tock. It's almost Derby o'clock, Darren.
It is. It's here. I'm in credential hell. The Lexington, by the way, has produced 39 starters in the Kentucky Derby dating back to 1984, where Swale was the first horse. He ran second in the Lexington and came back and won the Kentucky Derby. Charismatic, of course, won it in 99. In the last 10 years since we've done the point system, dating back to 2013, only three horses have wheeled back to run in the Derby. That would be My Boy Jack, who won it in 2018. He finished fifth in the Derby. 2 years ago, Tawnyport won the race and finished seventh in the Kentucky Derby. And then last year, Disarm ran third in the Lexington and was fourth in the Kentucky Derby.
I'll never forget the training job of Steve Asmussen getting Disarm ready for the Derby off of, you know, that long layoff. Yep. and what he did with him, and just an old school training job with Disarm when he wheeled back in the Lexington to the Kentucky Derby. The Derby contenders, Darren, are rolling in here at Churchill.
Yeah, tell me about
them. I mean, we got almost, you know, half the field that's here. Catching Freedom, Resilience, Endlessly, Doorknock, Just a Touch, Track Phantom, Honor Marie, Society Man, Mystic Dan, they're all here. Common Defense, who we mentioned, is just on the outside looking in. He is here as well for Kenny McPeak. They're rolling in hot and heavy, and it's very exciting. We'll have a big work weekend. The rain fell here in the Louisville area, almost 2 inches of rain. So track's been sloppy the last couple of mornings. A lot of trainers who were on Friday work patterns are moving their horses to Saturdays. So we're going to see a couple of horses like last week when Catching Freedom worked on Friday. He will move his work to Saturday at 7:30. Endlessly also works on Saturday. And then Sunday we will have Track Phantom and Honor Marie. Kenny McPeak said that Mystic Dan and Common Defense are both scheduled to work this weekend as well. So it's happening. It's all happening.
We'll keep you posted on KentuckyDerby.com as well as this podcast. And if I can get my words out, please leave us a rating and a nice review and give us a 5 stars for our definite 4-star performance.
I need a Woodford after this. This is 18 minutes. We need a Woodford Reserve.
Let's do it.
And drink some of these 200 flavor notes in every sip. The $1,000 mint julep was announced the other day. I mean, maybe we need to get one of those for us on Derby Day.
I could use one.
We need to talk to someone over at Woodford Reserve. Get us a sample down here in the communications office. Anyway, that's it for Inside Churchill Downs today. We're going to stop waxing poetic down here. Get back to it. We'll be back after this weekend to talk some more about the Derby, what happened in the Lexington Stakes, and preview what's to come. Lots of fun here on the podcast. We'll have lots of special guests in the lead up to Kentucky Derby 150, just 3 weeks away. We'll talk soon.